Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Aditya Birla Capital Limited Q1 FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan, Chief Executive, Aditya Birla Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this earnings call for the first quarter of FY19. I'm joined by my senior team here. I will provide some opening comments and then be happy to take any comments, questions that you may have subsequently. So I hope you've got the presentation with you that we had uploaded on the website about an hour ago. I want to start with that presentation and look at slide 3, which basically is a slide that talks about the approach we are following at Aditya Birla Capital, a lot of which you will see during the course of the presentation in each business that I speak about. But I wanted to give you the overarching themes and the overarching approach that we have, which, as I said, will be a recurring theme that you'll see through the year. So if you look at the left-hand side of that chart, I want to start by our focus being on balanced, profitable growth. By that, what we mean is everything that you see at Aditya Birla Capital will find a balance between the types of customers we deal with, the kinds of channels that we use to approach our customers, the geographies in which we operate, the products through which we sell and build our business, and this whole approach between building, you know, short-term momentum and a long-term sustainable business. So I think you will see that approach right through, because we believe ultimately that India has a large opportunity, and it's important to make sure that we are creating enough sustainability in our business model to capture the opportunities in the long term. I think the second part of this chart talks about our increasing reach. You will see through the presentation how we are increasing our branches, how we are building reach through our partnerships, and how we are, through digital, you know, creating reach without necessarily building brick-and-mortar presence. The third element of our approach is around retailization, and you will see in our presentation how we've added, for instance, almost 2 million folios in our asset management business over the last year, how our lending business is becoming much more retail-focused, and how our life insurance business is rapidly growing its retail footprint. When we talk about leveraging market opportunities, I'll just call out one, which to my mind is a very large opportunity, and that's the whole corporate lending space. Because we believe that the demand for credit, you know, exists, and I think will only pick up as the economy picks up. But supply is clearly hindered and clearly fractured, and therefore there's an opportunity for people like us to be able to step in and provide opportunities for people looking for credit. So that's an opportunity for us to leverage market opportunities as they exist today. We've always talked about capturing lifetime value, customer lifetime value, and through our broad-based proposition of protection, investment and financing, we think we have the ability to really capture a customer's lifetime value from birth to death. Product innovation is critical to us. We've done it in our health insurance business and continue to do it across our platform. And product performance is key in our business, and you'll see that in, for instance, the fund performance that we have within our asset management business or our life insurance business. All our businesses are based on very strong enablers, and these have three broad elements other than people, which is risk, technology, and analytics, and we'll be looking to strengthen each of these areas to continue to build our business as we go forward. And the last element, and I think which is quite different to us and very unique to us, is this whole opportunity of leveraging synergies across the platform. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to have to keep reinventing the same thing done 12 times as we expand our footprint. We want to make sure we can leverage our infrastructure so that all our stakeholders, whether our shareholders, our employees, our distribution partners, or our customers, get the benefit of the platform that we are building. So let me with that start with the key highlights of FY19, which is on slide 4. Six highlights that I'd like to call out. The first highlight is the growth in our life insurance business. We've seen a 40% growth in individual FYP in this quarter, which is significantly higher than the industry growth, which was 6% for the same quarter this year. So, a significant increase in market share, as I'll talk about in a short period. Second, if you look at the margins of our life insurance business, we had the highest gross VNB margin in the history of our life insurance business this quarter at 37.2%. Our NBFC ROE has expanded by 100 basis points in a fairly challenging interest rate environment, and we've now crossed 15.2% of ROE in that business. Our mutual fund business was already ranked number 3 in our overall assets under management. This quarter, we've become number 3 in equity as well, So we're now number three in equity, we're number one or two in debt, and overall we're number three. Our equity AUM has also almost touched the 1 lakh crore mark in our AMC. It's grown about 2.4 times in the last 2 years. A big focus for Bala and his team has been building the equity AUM, and I'm happy to say that we're almost at the 1 lakh crore mark today as we speak. And in our health insurance business, we've grown our retail business 10 times over last year. It's a small base, no doubt, but I think we're very confident that this momentum in this business is really strong and will continue to last as we go through the years. I'd like to now move on to slide 5 and talk a little bit about branding, because we launched our universal brand on 1st November 2017. And I'd like to draw your attention to the top half of this slide first. So what this slide basically shows you is that if you look at consideration for different players in the financial services sector, on the left or bottom you'll see the private diversified NBFCs. They typically are the lower end in terms of consideration. Some of the top NBFCs obviously have higher consideration and they overlap with the top private sector banks. And at the top end, you have some of our top public sector institutions, you know, people like LIC and SBI. So when we started this journey before our launch of our brand, we were pretty much in the pack of the private diversified NBFCs. That's where you see us with the yellow orange dot in October 17. But post the campaign, we are now pretty much in the category and in the company of the top private sector banks. So really the campaign has elevated us and raised our consideration to levels that I think we've never seen before from a brand perspective. It has also done that for us at each level of our sub-business. So if you take, for instance, protecting, and this is a question that our agency, for instance, asked people, would you consider Aditya Birla Capital for meeting your protecting solutions through life insurance or health insurance? Our consideration score has risen considerably higher than the category score, as you'll see there. And the same is true for whether it's investing or for financing or for advising. So the short point really here is that in a short period of time, the brand has built considerable salience and now clearly ranks amongst, you know, the top players in the financial services sector. Let me now move on to numbers and slide 6. So slide 6 shows you some traction we've built across protecting, investing and financing. So if you look at our premium, and this is premium from our life insurance and our health insurance business, premium has grown by 29% year on year. If you look at our average AUM, which is from our mutual fund business, that has grown 19% year on year. And if you look at our financing book, this is our NBFC plus HFC, that has grown by 30% year on year. So as you see, we've had very strong growth across all three platforms on a year on year basis in terms of these metrics. Moving to the right hand side of that slide, our consolidated revenues have grown 32% year on year to 3,374 crores at the end of Q1 FY19. And if I look at the bottom half of that page, our established businesses, so this is our life business, our asset management business, and our lending business, have seen a profit after tax growth of 36% year on year. We are investing in new businesses, including our health insurance business. So post that investment expenditure, our consolidated profit has actually grown 26% year on year. So we think these are a very strong set of results across the platform, whether, you know, it's on a protecting side, investing side, financing side. I think across the board, we've had some very strong results. If I'm going to move on to slide 7, since we moved to Ind AS this year, this is really a profit reconciliation between IGAAP and Ind AS. I'm not going to walk you through the line-by-line item. If you have questions, I'll be happy to take it subsequently. But the headline here is that basically we've had very negligible impact due to the change in accounting standards on our profitability. So you'll see the net impact on profitability actually is very small as a result of moving from IGAAP to Ind AS. I'd now like to deep dive into some of our individual businesses, and I'd like to start with Aditya Birla Finance. So if I draw your attention to slide 9, I think the business, we've always spoken about driving the growth of SME plus retail plus HNI. That mix of retail plus SME plus HNI grew by about 43% year on year for us, and therefore now as a percentage of the total mix, it's 48%, which is about 7% higher than it was Q1 of last year. So pretty much in line with strategy, the mix has changed and we've been able to drive the mix change as we had suggested. A large part of that drive in the change in mix has come from what we call the emerging segments, which is our unsecured retail lending and our digital lending. So our unsecured lending has grown by about 3 times year on year and our digital lending has grown by about 6 times year on year. So together, about 4 times growth in these emerging segments, which as you know, have much higher margins. Our profit before tax in this business has grown by 33% year on year. But I think the highlight for us is really the fact that we've been able to deliver very healthy returns despite what we know was a fairly challenging interest rate scenario. So if I draw your attention to the right-hand side of this slide and the middle chart, you will notice that our cost of borrowings have gone up by about 11 basis points from Q1 last year to Q1 this year as a result of the rise in interest rates in general. But while that's happened, the change in mix that I've spoken about earlier has actually resulted in an increase in NIM for us. So our NIM has actually expanded from 4.84% to 4.88%. So this is partly, as I said, because of the change in mix, partly a result of us being able to pass on the interest rate hikes that we've had onto our borrowers, as we've always mentioned. If you look at the ROE and ROA at the bottom right of that slide, you'll see our ROE has increased by 100 basis points and our ROA has grown by about 20 basis points. Slide 10 is a different way of looking at our portfolio and broken down by the type of customers we cater to and the products that we provide into that customer pool. So I'll just draw your attention to three items on this chart. On the top left, if you look at the large and mid-corporate, you'll see an increased element of both structured finance and construction finance. Again, these are the higher margin products in this mix and therefore has led to greater profitability overall. And if you look at the bottom left corner of this chart, you'll see the growth in our unsecured and digital business, which I had called out slightly earlier. So this is really the mix change that we've been talking about that has been able to drive a greater NIM for us at a business level. I'd like to now move on to slide number 11, which talks about the whole cost of borrowing. So our cost of borrowing increased from 7.85% last year to 7.96%. I think that increase is probably much less than the table of increase in interest rates in general in the market. And that is partly because of some very active treasury management, but also continuous dynamic changes that we make in our borrowing mix, which really allows us to optimize the cost of funds. So you look, the move from, for instance, into bank debt from NCDs is one thing that you'll see on the right-hand side of the chart. So by looking at different sources and being able to manage it proactively, I think we've been able to manage our cost of borrowings, I think, in a very good way. And that has led actually to very steady margins in what we know has been a challenging interest rate scenario. Our leverage at the end of Q1 FY19 was slightly lower than our leverage at the Q1 of FY18, so 5.7 times compared to 5.9 times. And we are AAA rated by India Rating and Research. Slide 12 is a way of looking at this whole transition to ECL, and I'll just call out 4 points from this chart. The first is, as you know, we transitioned to the ECL methodology with effect from 1st of April 2017. Net-net, the whole move to ECL and Ind AS has had a very negligible impact on us in terms of our asset quality. We've always said we have a very high-quality book, and that's come true in this transition. We've had a provision of about 27 crores in the first quarter for Stage 3 assets. The numbers you see here are balance sheet numbers, so I'm giving you the P&L number for Q1, which is about 27 crores for Stage 3. And as you'll see at the bottom of that chart, our provision coverage ratio is very healthy at about 56%. So we think this whole transition from IGAAP to Ind AS has actually had very little impact because of the quality of the book that we've had. Slide number 13 is the key financials for our financial services, for our Aditya Birla Finance business. I'll call out two numbers on this. Our net interest income, which as I said was 4.84, has gone up to 4.88, and our profit after tax, which has grown by 35% year on year. Let me now move on to our second business, Aditya Birla Housing Finance. We've seen some very strong growth in our book over here too. Our lending book has grown two times. So our previous year lending book was about 4,800 crores. We're now about 9,200 crores at the end of Q1. A large part of our growth has come from our affordable loan book as well, which is now at about 650 crores, a business we started quite recently and grown very rapidly. Again, we've always talked here about building retail granularity, and you'll notice that our average home loan ticket size has actually come down significantly, and I'll talk about that on the following slide with some numbers. In this business, what has happened is we've seen a slight reduction in our margins because our repricing has taken has been phased, and we are very confident that with the repricing we've now put in place, our margins will normalize over the next quarter or so. We're building profitable scale in this business. Our profitability is up 72%. So if you look at our earnings before tax, it's up 72% from Q1 of last year to Q1 of this year. If I move now to slide number 16, you'll show you that while our book has doubled, our number of customers has tripled, which is one reason why the ticket size has come down. So our average ticket size for home loans has come down from 45 lakhs last quarter, first quarter, to 28 lakhs this first quarter. Our overall ticket size in the business per se is down from 62 lakhs to 36 lakhs, so a significant decrease as a result of the granularity that we're building in this business. I spoke about the margin reduction over the quarter. This is really because, you know, cost of borrowing going up. We've not been able to pass on the full cost of borrowing in this quarter. But as I said, we're very confident that with the repricing we put into place, we will soon normalize margins. This business, again, if you look at our NPA and GNPA, you'll see coverage ratio actually has increased in this business. Our net NPA is only 0.25% at the end of Q1 FY19. Slide 17 will show you the mix in terms of products that we have in our housing finance company. 7% of our book is now affordable housing, so it's starting to show in the overall mix. And the right-hand side is the chart we've shown you before as well. We continue to remain completely diversified in terms of geography because we believe that's one of the elements of being able to diversify risk by being present across the various geographies that operate in India. Slide number 18 is the financials of our housing finance business. Very quickly, our lending book has doubled and our earnings before tax has grown by about 71%. So good traction here, both in terms of top line and in terms of bottom line. I'll now move on to our asset management business, slide 20. A lot of good things in this business that I'd like to talk about. I spoke earlier about our leadership here. We continue to remain number three overall, but we are now number three in equity as well. Our domestic AUM market share is now 10.7%. Our domestic AUM grew 21% year on year, but our equity AUM grew by 49%. As a result of that, our equity mix is now at 36%. So it's grown about 7% year on year from where it was the previous year, Q1 FY18. And if I look at where we were in Q1 FY17, our equity mix has actually improved by 13%. So now 36% of our domestic assets are equity. And, you know, that's been always a part of our focus in our strategy. And I think you'll see that coming through. And I've already spoke about us hitting the 1 lakh crore number as far as equity AUM is concerned. Our operating EBT in this business has increased by 47%. By operating EBT, what I mean is I'm eliminating mark-to-market because that's a volatile item. So I'm taking that out of the equation and just talking about just pure operating profit. That's increased by 47%. And that is basically now 25 basis points of our AUM. The prior year was 20 basis points, so a significant increase in profitability as a percentage of our AUM, largely led by the growth in high-margin products, equity, and some debt products as well. If I move on to slide 21, you'll see the focus that we've had on retail, which I think has been a continued theme we've spoken about, continues over here. Our retail plus HNI AUM is now 1,20,000 crores, so that's a fairly significant amount of our total AUM. If I just talk about the retail AUM, our retail AUM grew by 43% this quarter compared to the industry growth of 33% and the growth of the top five at 28%. So clearly we are gaining market share on the retail side. Our investor folios, I referred to that earlier in my presentation. We've doubled our investor folios between June 16 and June 18 to 6.4 million folios. So the retail effort clearly bearing fruit over here. Our monthly SIP book now is over 1,000 crores. It's grown three times over the last 2 years. And our SIP market share is about 12.1%. So clearly a very strong driver of our growth is the accretion through SIPs. We are today present across 247 locations, and our target is to reach 290 locations by the end of this year. So we will continue to build reach, continue to build our footprint, and continue to penetrate especially the smaller cities in India through this branch network that we spoke about. We're also looking at increasing our B30 penetration. We are currently at about 30,000 crores, which is about 12% of our domestic AUM, but we see this as being a big engine of growth as we go forward. So looking at the numbers for our asset management business, four numbers I'll call out for you on slide number 22. Domestic AUM up 21%, equity AUM up 49%, earnings before tax excluding MTM up 47%, and our earnings before tax really has moved from 20 bips in last year to 25 bips this year. So significant improvement in the profitability of this business along with very strong growth in equity assets. Let me now move on to our life insurance business, which has had a very, very strong quarter. Individual FYP in our life insurance business grew by 40% year on year. I'm on slide 24. This is considerably higher than the industry, which grew by 6%. The private sector in the industry grew by 5%, and the top four private players in life insurance grew by 2%. So obviously 40% is a significantly higher growth than what we've seen in the industry. As a result of that, we've improved our individual rank by 2 spots. We are now ranked number 7. But along with this growth in top line, what has happened is a change in mix. We today have the highest gross VNB margin that we've had at 37.2%. In fact, our gross VNB in absolute terms has grown by 85% year on year. So that's a significant indicator of value creation, as you will know. And that number has grown by 85% year on year, thanks to both the growth in top line and as well as the change in the mix. The product mix change has really been driven by protection, which has grown from 5% last year to 9% this year. So almost a doubling of our protection in our overall mix, which has led to the margin that I spoke about earlier. A large part of our growth has also come from our broadening our partnerships, including HDFC, and that has led to us gaining 94 basis points of market share between June 17 and June 18. So from a 2.8% market share in June 17, we are now up to a 3.7% market share in June 18. Slide number 25 will show you our product mix and our distribution mix. So as I said earlier, we have doubled our protection mix from last year, 5% to 9%, but tripled our protection mix actually over the last 2 years. So we were 3% protection in June 16, that's now 9% as of June 18. That's been a big driver of the margins, as I said. But we continue to maintain a very balanced product mix, because even if you leave protection aside, you'll see a very balanced product mix between non-PAR, PAR, and ULIP. On the right-hand side, you'll see the balanced product mix, the balanced channel mix that we have between our proprietary channels and our partnership channels. So our partnerships now account for about 35% of our total business, and proprietary accounts for about 65%. We continue to want to make sure that we keep a balance in this mix, because we think there are several advantages to having a balanced distribution mix. HDFC Bank opened up its branches to us from 1st April, and therefore part of this growth that you're seeing here is as a result of that tie-up. Slide number 26 is a slide that shows you some elements of the quality of our business, some of which we've not disclosed before and we're disclosing for the first time. So if you look at the left-hand side of this chart, you look at the average paying term for us, which is at 14 years, which we think is a healthy mix and, you know, a factor of the product mix that we're selling in the market. If you look at our average customer age, it's about 35 years. So again, you know, good insurable population that we are dealing with from a customer age perspective. And on the extreme right, if you look at the persistency, you will notice the significant improvement in persistency of the business, whether 13-month or 25th-month, over the last 2 years. And that, again, is a big driver of value creation, along with the creation of gross VNB margin. Improving persistency ratios is a big driver of value in this business. So we think this business is moving along well and creating, you know, a decent amount of value as a result of all of these combinations. So slide number 27, our individual first-year premium has grown by 41%. Our total gross premium has grown by just under 30%. And our earnings before tax has grown by about 3 times, from 11 crores last year to about 29 crores this year. There is a mark-to-market in this business as well. So if I exclude the mark-to-market, our profit is basically flat over the year, which actually is quite commendable, because we've had to invest a reasonable amount of money in the first quarter to build the HDFC Bank partnership relationship as well. So I think a very strong set of numbers from our life insurance business. Moving on to the last business I want to talk about today, our health insurance business. This again is a business that's seen significant momentum in this quarter. We've entered the first quarter with a GWP of 76 crores. Retail contribution is about 52% for Q1, as against 6% last year, so significantly greater retail contribution in our mix. We now cover more than 1 million lives through this business. We have significantly scaled our distribution capacity in this business, and I'll talk to you about that on the next slide. But that, to my mind, creates the platform for growth going forward. We are continuing to build very profitable growth. If you look at our claims ratios, our retail claim ratio is 46%, our group claim ratio is 99%. Both of these are very good, strong indicators of the kind of profitability that we will see once this business builds scale. The other thing we're doing in this business is digitizing. Because we are slightly late entrance into this business, we've had the benefit of being able to digitize a large part of the customer journey. So about 84% of our policies today are actually issued digitally. If I look at slide 30, this is really about the capacity I was talking about in terms of distribution. So we today have 7 banks with whom we've tied up. We've tied up with HDFC Bank, DCB, RBL, Deutsche Bank, Aditya Birla Payment Bank, and AU Small Finance Bank. We've recently signed up with Karur Vaishya Bank as well in the first quarter of this year. So these are very strong bank partnerships that we are very happy to have as partners of ours. And each of these banks is now opening up new verticals to us. HDFC Bank, for instance, also opened up its branch banking to our health insurance business from 1st April of this year. But if you look at the right-hand side of the slide, you'll get a sense of the volume and the capacity we're building. So we have 60 branches of our own, where basically our agents operate out of. We have 17,500 agents. We're present today in about 600 cities through the partnerships that we've built. We have today built a hospital network of about 4,580 hospitals, so a very large network that's able to service our customers and provide them the service that they require. And we have our own sales force of about 1,140 people who are building the sales through these various channels. So really this capacity is what gives us the confidence that this business is going to continue to see, you know, reasonably strong growth as we go forward. Building value in this business comes from a combination of at least four things, and I want to talk about that in slide 31. So if I look at the top left, partly it comes from the mix that we have in terms of distribution. We have about 51% of our business coming from banker, about 26 coming from agency, and about 23% coming from other channels. We think that balanced mix is really a good way of creating value for ourselves. If I look at the top right, like I mentioned, I think in the past, non-metros tend to be more profitable than metros for us because the cost of delivery, cost of healthcare tends to be lower over there. We have about 32% of our business now coming outside of the big metros, and that will continue to happen as we build more branches and as we build reach through some of the bank partnerships I spoke about earlier. On the top, on the bottom left side, you'll see the contribution of retail. Last year, you know, retail for the full year was about 34%. In the first quarter, we're already up to 52%. So retail will become a larger and larger part. It's obviously more profitable than the group business. And the final chart on the right-hand side is really between fixed benefit products and indemnity products. Fixed benefit products have higher margin. They're now about 20% of our mix compared to 8% that we had last year. So again, this drives this whole theme about balanced growth that I spoke about right at the beginning. Balanced channel mix, balanced geography mix, balanced channel mix, balanced customer mix, and balanced product mix. The last slide I'd like to talk about is slide 33, which is basically all the other businesses, the growth businesses that we have, general insurance advisory business, a broking business, you know, and so on and so forth. Those businesses had an earnings before tax of 4 crores this quarter, largely impacted by the reduction in profitability in our general insurance broking business as a result of some regulatory changes. So I'd like to stop over there and open the floor for questions. My senior team is with me here and we'd be very happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Viral Shah from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. This is Sunil Tirumalai from Credit Suisse. Congrats on the numbers. I have a few questions, sir. Firstly, on the home loan, the HFC segment, you know, it's you know, very strong growth that we are seeing, you know, doubling of the book. But I'm also, you know, noticing the NPA is inching up. I mean, are you comfortable with that? I mean, you know, is it something, you know, on such a fast growing book, build up of NPAs, is it something for which you have to probably pause a bit and take stock off? I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
You want to finish all your questions, Sunil? Then we'll just take all of them together.
No, I'll go. It's okay. Easier one after the other, yeah.
Sure. So, Sunil, if you look at our housing business, which has doubled, yes, from 4,100 to 9,000 odd crores, but on a month-on-month basis, out of some 50-odd locations, we do 450 crores on a monthly basis, so not a big number as you just mentioned. But in terms of just managing the quality of portfolio, 0.6% is a fairly, and that too on a gross NPA, and we are in the process of resolving few of the accounts, so we are quite confident that we should be able to maintain our gross NPA in the same ratio, because as I mentioned, we are in the process of resolving few of the bad accounts through SARFAESI. We have repossessed the property, and also we are not seeing any major pressure coming from any one customer segment or any one geography. So I think we are quite comfortable with this growth and managing this credit quality.
Okay, okay, that's helpful. Secondly, your ECL table, slide 12. So you have 234 crores of provisions. So is that all? Do you have any provisions for stage 1 and 2?
Yes, we do have provisions for stage 1 and 2. This is only our stage 3 provision.
Okay, can you quantify the stage 1 and 2? I'm sorry if I missed that in the...
Yeah, just 1 second. Inch.
Yeah.
So Sunil, you're asking me for the quarter, the stage 1 and stage 2 provision is 8 crores.
So I'm looking at the stock.
Okay, the stock. What is the stock? 213. Yeah.
Okay, that's helpful. And so in this business, the OPEX increase, is it retail linked?
It's affordable housing linked, Sunil.
Oh, no. Okay, so we are... Okay, I'm in the Aditya Birla Finance section.
Oh.
That's...
Yeah,
slide
sorry.
12 is on that.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically the next slide is on the OPEX. That's linked to retail growth or?
Yes.
Okay. And my last question is on, in the AMC, you've given your SIP market share trend. I'm wondering, you know, what's the logic of excluding STP in that? That's a footnote you've given.
It includes STP.
Yeah, so market share doesn't include STP.
So
the market, we don't get STP data. We only get SIP.
Okay, just because of lack of data.
Yeah,
okay.
Because of data.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Sada from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my question. So a few questions on the insurance business. So would you be able to share what would be the VUNB post overrun? It means I could not find it in the slide in case I missed it. So obviously on gross basis it's very...
Excuse me, sir, this is the operator. I'm so sorry to interrupt, but requesting you to please speak a bit louder as your audio is not audible. Requesting you to use the handset mode, please.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes,
hello?
You are. You may please go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, so just on life insurance part, so what was the VUNB post overrun? So obviously on a gross basis, VUNB is very impressive and you have shown in last quarter also a good improvement in post overrun VUNB margin. So just wanted to know that number.
So we don't disclose this quarterly, but you know, we will stick to the guidance we'd given last time, which is that you will see a significant improvement in our net VUNB from the number we declared last year. And that will be driven, obviously, by both the gross VNB increase as well as, you know, the optimization of our expense overruns.
Okay.
So you'll see it at the end of the year. We're not going to disclose it quarter by quarter.
Okay, fair enough. And so by when do you expect this overrun to actually run its way through? And is there any timeline you think that this...
It's very difficult because as you keep adding new channels, as you keep doing new things, you're going to continue to see some amount of expense overrun. I mean, even the most established businesses in the developed world continue to run expense gaps. So I think it's really a function of, you know, the channel and the growth of the business.
Sure. And last thing on life insurance bit, on protection, so your share has gone up from 5 to 9%. So I presume this is on NBP basis or is it on APE basis? So
NBP basis only for individual.
And so would it be possible to share what it would be on an APE basis?
It will be very similar.
Similar ratios,
yes.
Okay. And is it possible to give some breakdown in terms of the protection, means which part of the protected is retail protector or credit protect or the group term which is growing?
So only individual, so this is only retail protect.
Pure term protection.
So not much of credit protect in this right now, yeah?
No, because this is not group, right? This is only individual.
Okay. Fair enough, fair enough. And sir, one thing on our ABFL. So obviously, means the growth in the retail is very strong. However, if I see that the growth in SMEs seem to have has tapered, means stagnated in a way that the share of SME has been stagnant for quite a few quarters for at around 25% odd. So what is our thought process on driving the SME growth from here, and also, overall growth of ABFL has also come down from 25% last quarter to 22% this quarter. So, what is the growth that we are targeting overall on ABFL?
So, your first question on the SME, we are looking at expanding to tier 2, tier 3 geographies, and this year we have expanded to another 32, 33 geographies. So that will help us to grow our SME business. We have set up the sales team, the risk underwriting team across all these geographies. So we will see a growth coming in the SME space. In terms of overall growth, which you mentioned around 23%, we had in quarter one, we had some big repayments which came in. Our new business was quite strong in quarter one, but few repayments in few large accounts, that's the reason you see a tapered. We will continue to grow at our earlier numbers, which we were growing at. So we will continue to grow at a healthy rate.
Okay, fair enough. I have a few more questions and I'll come back in the queue. Thanks for your answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Amit Rani from Quantum Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So last time we had said that we target to reach 50 cities by July 2018 for our NBFC business, and we'll be covering some 85% of the SME revenue pool. So where we are on that in terms of progress, and what are the implications for our cost to income ratio, which currently stands at 32%. So where do you see this ratio by year end?
So we have already reached 50 cities, all these geographies, as I mentioned earlier. We have reached 50 cities and we have built the sales team, the underwriting capabilities, the collections capability in all these geographies. In terms of cost income ratio, I think we will be able to maintain our cost income ratio in the same range, because this year a lot of our retail investment, which was we had done 2 years back, that will start paying up, and we are already seeing our unsecured digital business, unsecured businesses now break even, is producing profit month on month. So we will see cost income in the same range.
Okay. And sir, my other question was on the ticket size, average ticket size for large corporate, mid corporate and SME. If you can give some idea how what are the ranges like?
So we're not really doing segmental details yet, but I mean, all I can tell you is that we're very comfortable with the ticket sizes across the board. This is something that we manage very carefully. So we're not just managing granularity across different customer groups. Even within a customer group, we want to make sure that we're getting, you know, ticket sizes down. And that's the trend that's there in each one of these businesses in which we operate.
Okay. And one last question, sir. In HFC, we want to reach 84 branches by FY19 year end. So today we are at 51 and our cost to income is around 71%. So going forward, any outlook on cost to income for HFC as well?
So we are already in closer to around 70 odd branches. So we are on our way to reach to 84 branches by the end of this year. In terms of cost income ratio, if you see last year, previous to the last year, our cost income ratio, because we had just started the business and we were only 2 years in the business, it was 100%.
Right.
We came down to 76-77%. So this, it has remained in the same range because of the investment in the affordable housing segment, which we have, so we have created a separate team, separate vertical for, and separate underwriting for affordable housing. That is the reason the cost income ratio is in this range. But by the end of this year, we will see efficiencies coming in our cost income ratio in the housing business.
And sir, in housing, HFC, we had said that our construction finance will contribute around 20% of the total AUM last time we spoke.
Yeah.
So currently it's around 9%.
Yeah.
So any comments on that?
Yeah, so our strategic intent is to be around 20% on that segment. At this point in time, we are very, very selective because post implementation of RERA and what's happening in the real estate, we are slightly selective on this. But we will continue to look at the opportunity of growing this segment and take it to closer to 20%.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind all participants, if you have a question, you may press star, then one. We would take the next question from the line of Mr. Shah from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up opportunity. So in the Aditya Birla Finance book, you know, the NPA over the last couple of quarters, you know, seems to have come up. You know, any flavor you can give which segments are driving this?
Actually, if you look at March, our numbers, our gross NPA was 0.91, Sunil, and it's now 0.95. So we don't think the NPAs are actually moving up.
Yeah. So, but more. I mean, yeah. So you're right. So March it went up and it's kind of stayed flattish. But
it was also 20 basis points up because of that one-time RBI circular, if you remember. So if
right.
you eliminate that, it's, you know, it was only 72 basis points.
Okay.
Still think it's pretty good in the industry.
And if I can add,
yeah.
Also, Sunil, we have started moving into the retail business, unsecured business, which the pricing and the customer yield is in 18-19%. So the more business that segment grows further, you will see slightly inching of the gross NPAs. But we are pricing for risk. So absolute number, if you see here, but in terms of how our ROEs and everything else is improving, I think we need to look at that.
Okay, that's helpful. And now coming to your the bank card tie-up with HDFC Bank and your access to the branches, you know, if you could you know, give an operational update in terms of you know, how many branches you managed to get into, what's your target, and you know, what's your experience been in terms of, you know, pushing through your products, how you know, how's the response from the HDFC Bank staff, what's the response from, you know, the incumbent insurance company, etc. It'll be very helpful.
Reaction from incumbent, obviously I can't give you, but I can tell you some of the other things, which is that we've got about 1500 people today mapped to these branches. We are covering just under 3000 branches today at HDFC Bank. We have not going into the rural branches. They have about 1000 rural branches which we are not looking to cover. The rest of the branches we're looking to cover. Some places we have, you know, a one-to-one mapping of our people to their branches. Some places it's a one-to-three mapping. Most of our people have kind of joined on board between June and July. So our full complement of people actually is on board from July. We've had very good reception from HDFC Bank. I think their objective is really to maximize sales of life insurance. So we're getting very good cooperation and very good traction over there.
Right. Okay. And you're you know, trying to differentiate a product some way, you know, any color on that?
So I think a lot of our products we believe are, you know, fairly differentiated. If you look at you know, our whole non-par and par portfolio is actually quite different from what is, especially non-par is quite different to what exists in the market. And I think we're seeing some you know, some appreciation of that from the HDFC Bank channel.
Got it. And the last question is on the back in the ABFL, large and mid corporate book. If you can, you know, give some color on which are the top 2-3 industry sectors, you know, that you lend to over here. That's it. Thank you.
I wouldn't know offhand, Sunil, but I mean, these would be pretty much top, you know, top AAA kind of names. So, you know, these would be names that everybody would be familiar with. So I'm not off my head. I wouldn't know what the top 2 or 3 are. I can get that data and share it with you separately.
Yeah, I was not looking at the names, but I was looking at the segments, industry sectors.
I need to get the sector. I mean, I have to, the two go together. So I'm not necessarily sure what the top 2 would be.
Okay.
But they would be diversified conglomerates. I think that would be pretty much, my view would be they would be diversified conglomerates.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. This is a reminder to all the participants in the conference. If you wish to ask a question, you may press star, then one. We take the next question from the line of Nishant Chavate from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, just one question from my side. Just trying to understand what was the impact on net worth because of transition to the new accounting norm. This is specific to the NBFC.
That's a very marginal, Nishant. I think both at the NBFC and at the aggregate level, the impact has been less than 1%.
So, thank you.
Thank you. I would like to remind all participants, if you have a question, you may press star then one. We will take the next question from the line of Subramanian Iyer from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ajay. Just had a question on the leverage in your NBFC business. As I see, the asset to equity is about 7 times as of now. So what are the plans going forward with respect to infusing capital in this business?
So we've always said that our leverage will be, you know, between 5.7, 5.8 in this business. So the minute we cross that leverage, we infuse capital. But we have strong profit creation here as well. That's also providing us the network to be able to grow this business.
Sure. So should we expect that, say, over the course of the next 6 to 12 months, there would be some equity infusion in this business?
Yeah, we've been doing it every year. So we'll do it this year as well.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Amit Rani from Quantum Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, if you can go on slide number 35, I would like to understand for other financial services, like I know we are in investment phase right now. So over what period we can turn positive in this other financial services in terms of PBT?
No, I think this is already profitable, right? I mean, we are showing a profit of 4 crores here. So this is a mix of a couple of profitable businesses and a couple of businesses in, you know, in pure investment phase. It will...
Sure, sir. Hello?
You're talking about page 35, Amit?
Yeah, page 35, I was talking about other financial services.
Other financial services also include some corporate costs, including our brand expenditure. So this is not only all just operating businesses, this includes some brand spend as well.
Okay. And sir, in health insurance business, how much is the capital we have invested?
470 crores is the total, so our share is half of that.
Okay. And sir, how much could be the capital requirement going forward for this particular segment?
So we have said in the past that, you know, about 1500 crores is the total capital requirement over a period of, you know, 5-6 years. So
okay.
Our share is half of that.
And sir, normally when do we see a positive ROE in that?
In the health insurance business, typically 6 to 7 years.
6 to 7. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Sarra from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up question. Just one on the life insurance bit. So, sir, your partnerships share in the channel share of partnership is 35%. What would be the share of banca within this?
About 30 to 33% of that would be banca.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. I would like to remind all participants, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that seemed to be the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
So thank you very much for joining us late on a Friday evening for this call. If any of you have any further questions, please feel free to contact anybody who is on this call, including Pramod Bora. We'll be very happy to answer your question. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for any further queries, you may contact Mr. Pramod Bora, our Investor Relations team. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital Limited, we conclude today's conference call. Thank you all for joining us. You may disconnect your lines now.